strong and capable, like an elephant. Written by Jedisor, read by Silvercat 1620. Summary. The reaction in the dressing room is about what he was expecting. A few backslaps and congratulations, a side eye from Isaac, which he'll need to deal with later. Most of them are avoiding eye contact, probably just because they're scared of saying the wrong thing. But there's no telling for sure. All in all, it's not the most fun Colin's ever had in his life. But it's not that bad. Could have been worse. Then Roy Kent kicks in the door and announces, "I've had sex with men and I fucking liked it. No regrets. And if anyone's got shit to say, they can say it to me and not to anyone else. Is that fucking clear?" Notes. Thank you to Belmont Tower for Britpicking and not finding any Americanisms and calling me basically British. I got a good grade in British, which is something that is normal to want and possible to achieve. This diverges from canon somewhere between Season 3, Episode 3 and Season 3, Episode 6. Colin was going to come out anyway. That was always the plan. He was going to come out when he found someone worth coming out for. He wasn't expecting to do it quite so early on in the relationship, but when Trent Kim catches him and Michael sneaking a welcome home snog, and then starts giving him pointed looks over a passive-aggressively rainbow mug, he knows it's got to happen now. On his terms. It's all right, really. Things with Michael might be new, but Colin's got a lot of grinder dates under his belt, and he's pretty sure this is the guy who's worth it. Keely's already got an interview set up for him, and she's told him he can say whatever he wants. So this is what he says. The reaction in the dressing room is about what he was expecting. A few backslaps and congratulations, a side eye from Isaac, which he'll need to deal with later. Most of them are avoiding eye contact, probably just because they're scared of saying the wrong thing, but there's no telling for sure. All in all, it's not the most fun Colin's ever had in his life, but it's not that bad. Could have been worse. Then Roy Kent kicks in the door and announces, "I've had sex with men, and I fucking liked it. No regrets. And if anyone's got shit to say, they can say it to me and not to anyone else. Is that fucking clear?" He glances around the room, catches Colin automatically nodding along with the rest of them, and shakes his head contemptuously as he stalks off to his office. Colin feels a bit like he's just been headbutted again. Jamie appears to have gone catatonic.
"Why would anyone here have a problem with it?" Jan Mask asks. "Most of us have already agreed we were sexually attracted to Zava."
"I didn't really mean it like that," mumbles Richard.
A few of the others shake their heads.
"I did,"
Danny objects. A few of them nod and point to him in agreement. Jamie finally unfreezes.
"Are you all fucking mad? Roy Kent just came out to us and you're still talking about fucking Zava."
Colin clears his throat. They all turn to stare expectantly, and he realizes he hadn't said anything since he walked in.
Shit, this is stressful.
"I just wanted to tell you all, Michael, the bloke I brought to Sam's restaurant, he's my boyfriend."
They're still staring like they're waiting for something else.
"Just, I'll be bringing him places when you all are bringing your... Anyway, just wanted you to know."
Fuck, this is awkward.
"He is a beautiful man," Danny says kindly.
"Oi, hands off," Colin jokes.
Everyone is dead silent. He cringes.
Could have been worse. Could have been better. But definitely could have been worse.
Isaac is avoiding him. It's nothing he wasn't expecting, but it's still a bit shit. Colin has spent a lot of sleepless nights worrying about how his teammates might react, and this is the one he's lost the most sleep over. It would have been nice to be proven wrong. He's pretty sure Isaac just needs a bit of time. Mostly sure. Well, he's hoping. The rest of them seem to be coping all right with the news. He knew Sam and Danny would be in his corner no matter what, and Zoro was too, because it's illegal to be homophobic in Canada. If any of the rest have a problem, Roy's warning seems to have convinced them to keep it to themselves. And it turns out Trent Krim's passive-aggressive mug was actually an attempt at solidarity from a fellow member of the community, as he puts it. Everything is fine, pretty much. Still, it feels like the team are walking on eggshells around him. It's oddly familiar in a way that takes a few days to pin down, but once it hits him, he can't unsee it. They're acting like they do when Keely or Rebecca are in the dressing room. A touch less crass, a touch more guarded. Colin doesn't like it one bit, but he can't work out how to bring it up. It's not like he can accuse them of not cracking enough jokes about ball sweat. Then he trips over a stray boot and does an incredibly stupid pirouette to keep his balance, and no one says a word, and once again Roy Kent kicks in the door. "Why the fuck aren't you all pissing yourselves laughing?" he demands. "He looks like the fucking sugar plum fairy!" The team all look at one another nervously. Says Bumbercatch after a moment. "We thought it might seem homophobic." "Well, now, Roy, I don't know if..." Trent starts. "You can have a fucking opinion when you've sucked a fucking dick," Roy informs him. Trent Krim raises two fingers. "I've sucked quite a lot of dicks, and I would take issue with the only gay player on the team being called the Sugar Plum Fairy." "You're not a footballer, though," says Colin. As soon as he speaks, the whole room goes silent again. He wishes they wouldn't do that. But as long as they're paying attention, he might as well try to drill his way through their thick heads. "I've always had it in the back of my mind, you know. Anytime I got teased in the dressing room, I was always wondering if that was why. If you were treating me differently because you could tell. All I want now is to stop wondering. I don't want you all tiptoeing around me. I don't want to be treated any differently. I just want to fuck about with my mates and not have to think about it anymore." For the first time since the announcement, Isaac actually looks him in the eye. Just for a second, and then it's gone. "He did look like a ballerina," says Richard.
"I'd say more like a flamingo," puts in Zorro.
"A flamingo skating on ice!" Danny attempts to imitate Colin's wobbly twirl and falls into Jan Maas, who laughs and starts helping him twirl. Roy nods approvingly.
"Good lads,"
he says and retreats to his office again. After a moment, Jamie follows him. Colin watches them through the glass, curious. He can't tell what they're talking about, but Jamie looks all worked up, and Roy looks... surprised. Roy never looks surprised. The next morning, before training, Jamie stands up on the bench and gathers everyone's attention. "I just want to tell you this, all the same thing Roy told you," he says, "that I've had sex with a man as well, and I liked it. No regrets. Oh, and if anyone's got shit to say, they can say it to Roy." Roy, standing in the doorway to the manager's office, buries his face in his hands.
"I now have one regret," he says, muffled.
"I have had sex with men," Danny pipes up. "It makes women very happy."
"I have too," says Beard. He rolls his eyes at everyone's raised eyebrows. "Come on. What part of I worked at a strip club called Man City didn't get through to you guys?"
"I have not had sex with a man, but I would be willing to try it," volunteers Jan Maas.
Ted shrugs. "Well, as long as we're all sharing. I've had a spicy dream or two about Blake Shelton."
"I believe sexuality is a spectrum," says Sam. "Really, are any of us truly 100% straight?"
About half the team raises their hands.
"Wait, does Zova count?" Richard asks, his hand wavering. "Because I was lying, I would actually sleep with him."
"Yes, Zova fucking counts," Roy says, his face still firmly planted in his palms. "If you are a man and you genuinely want to have sex with Zova, who is a man, then you are not 100% fucking straight."
Everyone except Isaac put their hands back down. Isaac looks around.
"How long have I got to keep my arm up to stay straight?" he asks, in that suspicious tone he gets when he thinks he might be being made fun of.
Colin gives him a comforting pat on the shoulder.
"I'm here for you, boyo. I know what it's like to be the only one."
He's afraid Isaac will flinch at his touch or knock him away, but he doesn't. He drops his hand out of the air onto Colin's shoulder and gives it a little shake.
"Appreciate you, bruv,"
he says seriously, and the tightness in Colin's chest eases. Next time they all go out to Sam's restaurant together, Colin brings Michael along. Trent is there wearing a rainbow bracelet, and Ted has either found or made a gigantic rainbow badge that says, "Equality, not equality," with a picture of a teacup in a red circle with a slash through it. Danny keeps trying to get Beard to teach him pole dancing moves on a table leg. After a few drinks, Jamie rests his head on Roy's shoulder, and Roy grumbles for a minute before wrapping an arm around him.
"Wait, the mug was supposed to be a show of support," Michael asks. "So the guy was never going to at you at all? Shit, that means you didn't have to do this."
"No," Colin says. He takes Michael's hand, right on top of the table where everyone can see, and gives him a kiss.
"No, I did."
The end.